Yo. 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 Aubrey Edwards, Tony Schiavone. We bout to party. We bout to party. Unrestricted. Got the house now. We gon' turn it up, up. Bring the house down. Got that bass, bass pumping. Make them bounce now. Flossing like they bossing. And the freaks are coming out now.
Welcome to another edition of AEW Unrestricted, the official podcast of All Elite Wrestling. Well, this is going to be one of my favorite episodes of all time.
Yes.
Because one of my real good friends in this business has joined us on the podcast, the one and only Rebo. Not Reba, but Rebel.
Not Reba.
Yes, it's definitely Rebel.
How you doing? How you doing, girl?
I'm doing good. Sorry, I'm still in my PJs. I did put on a little camouflage, a little war paint. But I'm still in my PJs.
I like that her inner PJs is like really well done, whereas my PJs is like a 10-year-old t-shirt and some like boxer shorts I got for a dollar at like Target. Rebel looks so nice. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Aubrey. Are you buttering me up?
I am. One of my favorite things, just as a small personal story, I write up the card backstage before the show on the giant whiteboard, and every time Britt has a segment, I'll go with Reba, cross it off, and then write Rebel next to it just to pop myself. That's it.
It pops me too. And I greatly appreciate you correcting and making sure that it is definitely Rebel.
It ends up taking more space, and sometimes it ends up screwing me over more than not, because I'll have to like rewrite it to make sure I fit enough room to do the Reba cross off. But it's worth it for the laugh. Those are long days. So I love that it pops you as well. Anyway, we're here with Rebel, who, as we all know, is paired with Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, quite a bit. You're her right-hand woman, crutch and all, occasional tag team partner. So, yeah. Speaking of tag team partner, how's your knee doing?
This knee right here, it's doing really well. And I have been very blessed by the Lord up above, because it could have been so much worse, and I could have had some serious damage. There's no surgery, just damaged cartilage. So I just gotta do a little, you know, PT to build the strength back up, and I'm gonna be good to go.
Damn.
And I gotta wear a brace to prevent it from happening again.
So you started with AEW Rebel as a hair and makeup artist. How did that all come about when you first started with AEW?
Well, Shivani, I had previously wrestled for Impact Wrestling, and I just thought, you know, maybe, and before Impact Wrestling, I had done makeup and hair. I had my license, my cosmetology license. I did makeup and hair in Los Angeles, California. And then it's kind of how I got into Impact Wrestling, because I was trying to do makeup for them. And then this is going to be a long story, but it's funny how both times it has happened this way, where, you know, I've been in the entertainment business almost all my life. And I really thought at one point it's time to get behind the camera, you know, and pursue my other passions other than performing. And I had reached out to Christy Hemme and said, you know, I would like to do the makeup and hair for your show. And she said, oh my gosh, I have this perfect role for you. And I was like, no, I'm done with being on camera. And she said, well, I don't think you can get in the makeup department without this. And then they liked me and they said, hey, if you want to stick around, go learn how to wrestle. And I had played full contact tackle football, and I was in wrestling homecoming court, and like always wrestled around with the guys, like Roman Greco Olympic style wrestling. So day one at OVW in Louisville, Kentucky, day one of wrestling training, I fell in love with wrestling. So, and it's just, I've never looked back. And at one point, I did do makeup and wrestle for Impact at the same time, and that was very stressful. So by the time I got out, I was done with Impact, and I was reaching out to AEW, and I was thinking I wanted to get behind the camera again, try it again. And I started doing makeup and hair and loved it. And what's the word? Sure enough, lo and behold, I don't know, I don't even know what that means.
I love it when it's like just a phrase, you know, and you're like, oh, yeah. I'm supposed to say this here. I don't actually know.
Yeah. Like, insert whatever. they wanted someone to interact with Britt, who kind of knew her and, you know, spent some time with her. We were friends outside of AEW, hence the rules of being a role model. And they loved our Tony Khan and loved our dynamic on screen. So they're like, we want to do more with you guys. And so there it was. I just transitioned back again in front of the camera.
Right.
So, and I'm not mad at it.
No, it's been good. And really, I think if I go back and you look at that first video that you and Britt did together.
Yes.
When you were in her office.
Yeah, rules of being a role model. Yeah.
There were so many great moments that you made. But my favorite moment was when she asked you to move that chair out of the way.
Yeah.
And you just kind of slapped the chair and jerked it out of the way like you're pissed off. That was my favorite moment of that whole video. I mean, that's just.
How bizarre.
Isn't it?
It's just that's a bizarre moment.
Isn't it? That subtle moment to me popped me the whole thing. And there were so many great moments that you did.
That's about the
you
know, hand.
Right.
You know where I got that from?
Where's that?
So I'm from Oklahoma, and there is an old Mexican restaurant called Casa Bonita. Okay. I don't know if you've heard of it, but.
The South Park one.
Yes, even South Park does a thing about Casa Bonita. So yes. There's like an arcade. They have great cheesy enchiladas. There's candy store. And then there's a puppet show. And there's a puppet show. And this guy doing a little puppet. And he'll do his little spiel. And then all of a sudden, his hand will go. And the kids are supposed to yell out, the hand! And he goes, pop! And he grabs it. And he jerks off the... Oh, he like...
Not like that. You know what not I mean? Like that.
Yeah. He pulls away.
This is a children's show. It's a children's show. It's not that.
Yes, yeah. It always... Shivani knows every time I speak it, like I say the wrong things because they always,
right
they're always,
yes,
they're always sexual and I don't mean to. It just comes out.
Oh, God.
But we have a lot of fun with it.
It's one of
I'm
your
the
charms.
Same thing. Like I say the sexual thing, but I mean it the whole time. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Oh, my
anyway,
God.
Well, then. So that's where you got the hand to reach out and pull the chair.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
The hand.
I think my favorite part of that first video was when you guys are doing the giant cue card thing, like rule number one, blah, blah, blah. And then Britt goes, all right, come here, Reba. And you kind of just like look at the camera, turn around, and it actually says Rebel on your, I think it was like your leggings or whatever. And just the comedic timing of that moment was just like, Oh my God. And I think like, I don't know if that was when like the Reba Rebel thing was born, but since then I'm just like, this is fantastic. Like the fact that Britt keeps getting your name wrong is almost like endearing at this point.
I don't find it endearing.
Do you ever get mad at her for getting your name wrong?
She's the only one that I'm okay with. Anybody who thinks that they can call me Reba, I always correct them and say, it's definitely Rebel. So I'm like, hey, what's up, Reba? I'm like, it's definitely Rebel. It's definitely Rebel. You know?
Get it right now.
She, you know, she's the reason why I'm having so much fun right now. And she can call me Reba, but I'll be sure to correct every time.
I would never call you that, believe you me, because we're buddies.
That's right. We are
behind the scenes drinking and sushi buddies.
Yeah, we've built a tradition. We've slacked off a couple of times because we've been busy, but we've built a tradition now. Every city we try either sushi and a little cocktail, and it's a good tradition.
It really is. You had a tribute recently on Instagram to Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
Yes,
his death was terrible for all of us. But talk about him for us.
I have one experience with him, and it is one of the most memorable experiences, and I will never forget it, and I'll never forget him. We had an appearance together, we did a signing, and he was so helpful and so knowledgeable and just raw with his insight and his advice. And I have a really bad memory, but the gist of it is we were in the car, and he was just telling me what it really meant to be a heel. And then back in the day, you weren't politically correct. You did whatever you had to do to the point where it was a compliment if you had people throwing shit at you. Hey, face of an angel, mouth of a trucker.
Right.
Throwing stuff at him, waiting for him after the show. You needed security. You know what I mean? Like, he just really laid it out there, you know, how important it was to be fully committed to your character.
Wonderful. Speaking of fully committed to your character, one of the things I absolutely love about the waiting room segments is your laugh and just how over the top it is. Like, how did the laugh start?
I think it was mentioned to me that I was, when she does her jokes, that I should laugh at all her jokes. And in the moment, I just was like, you know, like, and I don't know why, it just, that's what felt organic. That's what felt authentic and genuine. And well, you don't know how genuine, but authentic and organic. So it just became, I couldn't believe, I hate doing it. I think it's really ugly.
But that's part of its charm.
I didn't realize that people were going to love that. And so now it's like, do the laugh. But I've been told to tone it down a little bit. Save it for the waiting room. But for other things, maybe tone it down a little bit with the laugh. So I'm glad everybody likes the laugh.
There's another part that I mentioned to you that during the much talked about, and rightfully so, very, very well done lights out match between Britt and Thunder Rosa. When you got the bag of thumbtacks, your reaction to that was kind of like an evil scientist pulling at the, you looked in the camera and, and it was wonderful. It was a wonderful moment. And it was one of those things that I know was on the spur of the moment, but
I don't know if anyone gets like this rush of adrenaline when like something crazy is about to happen. You're just like,
right.
Yeah. Or like, have you seen that, that gif of when the kid has the cotton candy and he eats it and he's like, ah, it's like that. It's like, yeah, you know, it's exciting.
Right. Right.
You can't wait for it, or it feels so good. Or,
oh my.
So
I feel like this podcast, we're going to have to go back and like record all of the different laughs that happen and create like a little rebel soundboard of just like everything that's happening. Cause there's been like a wide range already and we're still in the first segment. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry. Somebody wanted to say hi. This is Porch Kitty. Is your Porch Kitty? She's a good girl.
Aww, this is an adorable cat. I love when the pets make their cameo appearances on this podcast.
Yeah.
But coming up on the podcast, we'll talk a little bit more about Rebel's wrestling background, her wrestling on AEW, and all of the other amazing things she's done, cheerleading, football, coming up. This is AEW Unrestricted. Aubrey and Tony here with Tony's close personal friend, Rebel. I'm lying. Rebel's my friend as well. Although I do get a little upset with Britt sometimes, but I'm sure we'll get into that.
That's
sorry,
because
guys.
You're a conspirator, Aubrey.
I'm not a conspirator. Like, she got hurt recently, and I wasn't even there.
Yes, but who knows what you're doing in the back to, like, set this up for us to get hurt?
Yep.
You know? Make all our plans fall out of place. You know, maybe we should have you start wrapping our matches so we can keep an eye on you.
I don't know. Britt has said multiple times that like maybe I get too close to her and me hitting the mat is the reason she got concussed that one time. Like I think it's all in her head. Pardon the term.
Well, there's a lot of conspiracies out there for sure.
Whatever. Moving on. Let's start. you mentioned you were cheerleading. You've actually been a cheerleader for the Dallas Cowboys. So how did you get into cheerleading?
I started at a very young age. I mean, I just used to would dance in my living room and do cheers in my living room. I have an older brother. He's 5.5 years older than me. So when he played sports, I would sit and watch the cheerleaders when I was 5 years old. I became like a little bit like their mascot. So I got my own cheerleading uniform so I could do the cheers with them in the stands. That was when I was 5 and did that. I could be an official cheerleader in the 3rd grade. So that's when I started and I just never looked back. I did, you know, all the way up to high school. And then I went to college and did it for the University of Tulsa. And then I went to the Dallas Cowboys. And so that was 15 years of cheering that, was awesome.
talk about, because the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders are a big deal. I mean, they are probably known as the
America's Sweethearts,
the top cheerleading squad in the NFL, maybe in, yes, in the world, right?
I'd say that.
So getting a job with that, it is a big deal. How did that all happen?
I was actually, this is a kind of a cool story. They were the first professional cheerleaders.
Sure.
They are also America's Sweethearts. And I was still in high school, and I knew that, and you have to be 18 to audition, but at the time I was still in high school, senior in high school, and I was the youngest to ever make the team. And
your high school team?
No, Dallas Cowboys. I was still in high school. I made the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders.
You're still in high school. Damn.
Well, a senior in high school. And so I lived in Oklahoma, Owosso, Oklahoma, which was like four and a half hours away from Dallas, which where training was. I don't know what possessed me at 18, senior. I said, I'm going to be a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. This is what I want to do. My mom has always been supportive, but she's never pushed me. So she's like, oh, okay, honey. Okay. Somehow I found an application online or something to do it. I filled it out myself. My mom, you know, she wasn't going to push that. She was like, my child is, she's something else, I guess. I don't know what she was like. And I said, Mom, I applied and I'm going to go audition. So I made it as a senior in high school, and my whole family started chipping in. My mom, my grandpa, she's my aunt, but she's really a friend. You know how you have the friends and the family that you call aunts and uncles?
100%.
Yeah. So I would leave high school early. My last period, I would leave early. I'd have someone from my family, people I just mentioned, would drive me 4.5 hours to practice. I would practice from four to five hours a night. So from like 7 to midnight, or however long it would take. And then after practice, they would wait for me for the four or five hours at practice in Dallas. I'd get out of practice. They'd drive me another 4.5 hours back home. So I would make my first period in high school, at seven, eight in the morning. So that was very brutal. That was a few months of going to high school, leaving, 4 hours of driving, 4 hours of practice, 4 hours driving back home, go back to high school. That was crazy. And at the end of the day for that one, when I made that, they decided to cut me. One, I'm very thankful that they did, because I would have missed my graduation for high school, because you're not allowed to miss anything when you're not coming to. So I would have missed my high school graduation. And so then the next year I went and cheered for University of Tulsa, and I went and tried out again. And that was on the team for 3 years. And I made the cover. I was their cover girl, their swimsuit calendar, which was a big honor. Yes.
Right.
I was blown away when they chose me for that, because I know a lot of girls shot for it. And it's a privilege to get to be chosen for that.
Sure.
But so those are a few stories of how it all went down.
Makes sense that Rebel gets into wrestling, because she's already doing the like indie wrestling drives, just in a completely different industry. So that worked out. You were already ready for this business before you even knew it. I am actually very curious, like, what the training for being a cheerleader is like a full-time cheerleader, because as someone who has a dance background, like I kind of feel like I have an idea, but I don't fully know what it is that you have to do in order to prepare your body for something as demanding as being a cheerleader.
There'll be some things you can prepare for, and some things you won't be able to. You'll have, you know, professional cheerleading is way different than high school and college cheerleading. It's kind of similar to like to wrestling. Like, you know, high school wrestling is way different than professional wrestling.
Yes. Right.
So the years of training in cheerleading and training in dance definitely helps with the professional cheerleading. How to prepare for it? I mean, it's years and years of training. Usually, I mean, there's girls that have made it and didn't have training. They were just naturally, you know, had a dance ability, and that's when they usually stick those girls in the back. But you know, there's hope for everyone, and just, it's like hours of, you know, I didn't do anything to prepare other than, in the auditions, that you have to do a written test. You have to know political events. You have to know all the words of the Star Spangled Banner, which you think is easy, but when you write them down, it's different. It's easy to sing it, I think, but you have to know football knowledge, which thank goodness I already knew, because I wasn't allowed in the third grade. I wasn't allowed to cheer for football unless I knew the game. So for me, that was easy. I was already a football fan. You have to know the NFC and the AFC, all that. There's just so much stuff you have to know for the written test. And then there's a kick line. You've got to have those high kicks. So a lot of stretching and flexibility. You know, there's the jump split. And then there's also your dance ability. And thank goodness I had training in that. Yeah. I don't know if that helps. Does that help?
Yeah, it does, because you have to be more than just a lady on the field. You have to know what you're doing. Plus, in many ways, you are part of the PR department of the Cowboys, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have to go through social media. You have to go through media training and do all that stuff.
Right.
We absolutely do.
Yeah, you got to have the personality because you represent the team. So, I mean, I get it. It's more than just being on the field and helping cheer and doing that. I mean, the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders are an integral part, I should say, of the Cowboys and what they stand for and all that. And I just love your background.
Thanks.
I do. I mean, you got your own neon sign.
Yeah. But that's, you know what I got this for?
What?
Rebels Happy Hour.
Yeah. Rebels Happy Hour. By the way, which is available on ad-free shows.
That's right, Tony. Yep. You know a little thing about that.
Yep, and I've got mine. I've got one in the background here, too, but it's so bright that it doesn't come across on camera, so I've got to...
I'll tell you what the key is. So I have a huge window behind, it's in front of the Rebel sign. So if the neon's on and it's bright outside, it works. That's the trick. That's the trick.
It's like those selfie lights, Tony. It's all lighting. That's how you get it to
lighting.
Work.
All lighting. Okay, you played in the Lingerie Football League.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. On the New York team. How did you get involved in that?
I lived in LA for 13 years, and you just get auditions all the time. And I think they had casted, I got the casting late, and they were trying to cast for cheerleaders, and they knew that I think they had saw on my resume Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. So like, of course we want her. But when I started interviewing, and I'm a bit of a tomboy, and I like to, see, I'm about to say I like to get nerdy, and here it goes. Goes off, your mind goes off somewhere else. I like to get rough and dirty.
For those who know you, and I know the listeners here don't know you as well as I do, you're just a very entertaining person.
Oh, 100%.
So you being a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader, you being in a Lingerie Football League, you wrestling, you being Reba, just kind of fits into your character because you're just so entertaining. So I get it. You don't.
Thanks, Ronnie. I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh, yeah. So anyway, the audition for the cheerleader, they're like, oh, my gosh, you need to, do you want to play football? And I always said, hell yeah, I want to play football. Full contact tackle football. I need to release some aggression. I had, at that time, had horrible road rage. And I needed to release some aggression. I was ready. And it was at the time when it first started, it was a bunch of models. And yes, I did some modeling out there in Los Angeles, but I just was a girl who, what did I used to say? A tomboy who likes to dress up.
Right.
So they put me on the team on New York because they like this girl, I think she'd be a good football player. She didn't need to be a cheerleader. She's going to throw it out. And sure enough, I did. That word, sure enough. I was on the team and I was voted most likely to rip someone's head off during a game. Also, most likely to need anger management after a game.
I believe it.
And I told the girls, like I said, on my team, because I didn't want to lose. I said, hey, if you're scared of getting your face messed up, then you need to get the hell out because I'm here to win and I'm about to mess some people up. And it was the thing that I did that got on ESPN's Cold Pizza at the time was this girl was bear hugging me. She was cheating. So she was bear hugging me. And I warned her three times, quit bear hugging me, quit bear hugging me. And then she did it again. And I said, this bitch, I'm going to have to teach her a lesson. I thought I just grabbed her neck, but in wrestling, it's a headlock. I put her in a headlock takedown, took her. I said, steering her like a bolt, like a, you know, the baby cast that you do at rodeos, you grab them and then you steer them down. So that at the time, I didn't know what a headlock takedown was, but that's what I did. And started punching her in the ribs. And I was like, I was so pissed. She wanted to quit cheating. And so that's what made ESPN's Cold Pizza and made Lingerie Bowl got them a lot of press because of that. And I'm happy I could have done that for you. You're welcome.
Just got the knack, right, Aubrey? She has the knack.
She's got it. She's got it. Even before she knows about wrestling, she's already doing wrestling moves. You had mentioned a little earlier on that, you know, you applied as a makeup position, Impact, and then they put you on camera. What was your favorite part about being part of the Knockouts division at Impact?
My favorite part? That's a good question. I haven't really thought about my favorite part. Probably just a favorite moment. I'll say that. My favorite moment was being a part of the first ever women's lethal lockdown. Ooh. Was a pretty cool moment. Getting to work with Gail Kim, really cool.
Right.
Just learning that world. I just want to pinch myself sometimes when like, how did I get here? You know,
I get it. All of a sudden you're a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. You're living in LA. You're in the lingerie football league and you move on to Ohio Valley, and now you're an Impact in the Knockout League. So I get it. I'm the same way. You all of a sudden you look back on your career and you think, "How did I get here?" Right?
Yeah, I feel like I needed a drink. Shabani, you know I'm way better if I have just a little something in my little sauce.
Oh, I know, a little something brings out the personality of Rebel, not Reba. And when we come back, the fans have their chance to ask you questions. You ready for that?
No.
Let's do it.
This is AEW Unrestricted. Tony and Aubrey here with the amazing Rebel, not Reba. And we're here with the fan question section of the show. Lots of fan questions. Really exciting to see how many people want to know more about the person behind the crutch. That is Clutch.
Yes, my crutch is Clutch.
Yes.
Thanks, Aubrey.
It was funny when you, as funny as it can be to dislocate a kneecap, when you came backstage, you're like, oh, well, now you actually need the crutch again. So that's helpful.
It was karma, right?
It was. This is what you get. You're advertising it on a t-shirt. Karma's going to get your ass. Anyway, first question from Maria Ling. You have great comedic timing and I love your laugh. What do you do to get ready before going out to the ring or a waiting room segment?
What I do before going out is I pump up the good doctor. I also calm her down. I calm her down, pump her up. And what she's got to do out there is way more stressful than what I have to do. So I just try to support her. Get, you know, we do a little dance. We, you know, we get ourselves, you know, pumped up, but also calm because our nerves are, you know, going like haywire. But also we want to be, you know, on that adrenaline level. So that's what I'm doing before is calming her and pumping her up.
Yeah, for those of us who know Dr. Britt Baker very well, which obviously I do, and know Rebel very well, and I say this out of all respect to the doc, she needs a lot of calming down at times.
Oh yeah.
and a lot of support. She does.
Yeah.
She's a needy person, and
oh yeah.
You're a great calming influence on her, so I get
that. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you did say that out loud. Okay. And that's just part of her makeup. It's part of her charm. I say that with all due respect. I said the same thing about Rebel. It's part of your charm, the way you are, the way you talk, the way you blurt things out, the way you make me laugh. Jim Barcelone wants to know, do you get free dental checkups from the champ, DMD?
What do you think? Hell no. She'd be charging everybody. I don't get no free dental work.
Do you get a discount at least?
No, I'm pretty sure I paid the price. I did get some free toothpaste, you know, those little sample ones that they give out. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no deals at the free doctor's samples. Office. I got the samples.
Yeah, I got whitening samples from her too.
I didn't even get any whitening samples. I asked her for some teeth whitening stuff and she says, yeah.
And then forgets. Yeah.
This next question is real dumb, but I'm going to read it anyway. From Redacted on Twitter, who do you think is behind the conspiracy to always injure Dr. Britt Baker, DMD?
We all know this question. It is Aubrey Edwards. She is the conspirator, and we're holding to that. We know. We all know.
Yeah, Aubrey, we all know.
What the hell, man? You're turning on me too?
Listen, one of his besties is right here. He's got a side with me. You got to, Tony.
I'm really conflicted in this.
Nope, you're not.
Nope. Now hang on, Rebel. I'm really conflicted because Britt's my friend. I'm the one that does the interviews with her, but there's no one I like better in AEW than Aubrey Edwards. So I'm kind of conflicted here.
I didn't even pay him to say that.
Okay.
that's another conspiracy.
Oh, okay. Okay. Brock wants to know, what is one thing that surprised you about working at AEW?
How awesome it is. Just how awesome it is. You expect a lot of, there's always those reputations of other companies right. being so, people just being so, you know.
Bad to you.
Terrible. The surprising is how awesome it is and how just easy it is to come to work, how you want to come to work, how you can't wait to get to work. You miss the people when you're gone, when you're not working with them.
Right.
That's a dream job. It's a dream job for sure.
Absolutely.
And you know what else is surprising is how accessible Tony Khan is. Like yes. He's there. He's there for all his talent. If you need him. And he values his talent. So, and that means the world, because when a talent feels valued, they want to work hard for you and they want to go right. above and beyond for you. And that's, right. I'm so thankful for Tony Khan.
Absolutely.
Very well said. Yeah, very well said.
We have a question from Rilo Killy. If you could smash any wrestler in history with your crutch, who would it be?
You know, I'm an impulsive type of person. So, I don't think I think naturally I'm pure and good hearted. So I don't go around thinking, ooh, who do I want to smash? I think if you piss me off, I'm going to fucking smash you. I'm going to use my crutch because it's clutch. My crutch is clutch. And if you deserve a big smash, you're going to get it. That's all.
You ready for this one?
No.
You ready for this question?
Oh, gosh. No, I don't think so.
This is from at Stu Myrick.
Oh, Stu!
Ask Rebel about setting in on commentary for the first time at the Rhodes Wrestling Academy second student showcase. By the way, it was with me and she was wonderful, says Stu.
Yes. So this is another conspiracy. Well, okay, I'm going to get to that commentary, but first I have to address how ref Aubrey Edwards tried to steal my job. She conspired again against me. Okay, so hold on, Aubrey. Let me tell the story. So first, Dustin Rhodes Wrestling Academy show, student showcase, I ref the show. He needed a ref. I was there for Dustin because I'm a good friend and I'm a good person.
Yes.
And who goes behind my back and tells Dustin that he should have her ref instead of me and try to take my job as a ref, even though I, you know, it's just a favor. It doesn't mean that I think I'm good or anything, but hey, I'm there. I'm a Jill of all trades. And, referee Aubrey Edwards tries to take my job, conspire against me. And Dustin said, oh, hey, Aubrey's gonna be the ref now. I was like, what the hell? And who backs out last minute? Aubrey Edwards. And Dustin asked me to ref again, and then I hurt my knee, and so hence the commentary, which we'll get to, but I'll let you answer, Aubrey.
So here's the thing. Dustin asked me first to ref his first student showcase, and I was unavailable, and you kindly offered your services. I'm going to put you over despite the fact you just talked a bunch of shit. I had mentioned to him, hey, I'm available for the second student showcase. Turns out the timing of everything and how it ended up working, my game was literally shipping like 4 days after the showcase. So I told Dustin, I'm not going to be, she left in the middle of my, I don't want to say fuck this bitch, but you know, whatever. Okay. She did fine. She was great.
Still hear you.
What? Just because you walked out of the frame doesn't mean you can hear me.
Back to the question. How about sitting on commentary with Stu?
Okay. So, you guys, this is my first time ever doing commentary.
It's hard.
I absolutely love it. It is hard. But I didn't know that I now love it. I love it. It was so much fun. And for the main event match, I had a little wine. So I also realized that I'm not that good at commentary, but even though I have so much fun doing it. but I'm pretty awesome when I've had a glass of wine. Main event match. See if you can tell that I was a little toasty during that. But Stu was great. Stu was great. He does usually does the commentary for football, which is really cool. And right. Shimani, you know, I'm gonna throw you out there because you are my friend. I mm-hmm. immediately, when Dustin last minute tells me I'm going to do commentary, I call you. I call right. the best of the best. And I said, you gotta give me a crash course, like right now over the phone. I'm going in an hour. I'm commentating in an hour. And you said, be yourself, project your voice.
Right.
Yes.
And you did. I listened to it. You projected your voice. You can't announce like you have a conversation. I mean, you can. You got to be conversational, but you've got to speak up, in other words. Speak
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Right.
So I did okay? I did okay?
Yeah, you did great. Wine helped.
Okay, well, so I need to send you the main event match, and I hadn't sent it to you yet because it was so long, and I know you don't have time to like listen to a 20-minute match of me talking. But I'd like to see what you thought about, because the one I sent you was the first match and I wasn't tipsy. I only was tipsy for the last match.
Okay.
So I'd like to see what you think of me sober and me tipsy.
Okay.
Dustin loved it. And he said, you should commentate more often tipsy.
There you go.
We have found the link.
Question from Cleo's dad, Matt. What's the best part about being ringside for Dr. Britt Baker DMD's matches?
The best part is just having so much fun with her. I think I'm this way. Like I think I would much rather tag with someone or be out there with my friends, because you can react with your friends. You can talk with them. It's just so much more fun instead of being out there by yourself. It's just more fun. And, you know, getting to interact with the fans now, it's just... I think when I started with Britt, there were no fans.
Right.
So that's exactly right. I didn't know what it was like being out there with Britt with fans. So now it is like extra fun because I get to interact with Britt, but also there's times where I can turn around and interact with the crowd because I'm not wrestling. You know, when you're out there by yourself, it's like you don't really get, you know, interact a lot with the fans. So that's really cool. And I'm gonna have to come up with some stuff to, like, I don't know, interact more with them.
Okay. We got one final question from, and we've had a lot, so we apologize for not getting them all in, but this is from Kermit Dominic. What's your favorite music to listen to while driving or flying into an AEW event?
That's a good question, because I love music. And I love so let's tell him, Shimani, what we do. Yeah, he's blushing.
So a lot of times, Sandra in the back, not a lot of times, but a couple of times, Sandra in the back.
The seamstress, the gear maker.
Our seamstress will put on music and Rebel will dance to it and dance with me.
Yeah, so Tony will just be going down the hallway, because and then I'll just happen to be dancing, and then he's walking down, and I'll just grab him, make him twirl me, dip it in doo-dod. He's just standing there blushing, and I'm just dancing around him.
there are videos of that. There are videos of that.
Yep.
That have not leaked yet, but and there's also a video of you singing to Dustin while you guys are stuck in traffic.
Yes.
Which is absolutely priceless. You just absolutely ad-libbed a song about Dustin.
Yeah.
Not listening to you, taking the wrong way and getting stuck in traffic. It's just wonderful.
Our 3-hour drive became a 5-hour drive, and I was sitting there in the front seat, and I was like, what the fuck? I'm stuck. I'm stuck in a truck. What the fuck? Dustin.
Oh. Jill of all trades, cheerleader, dancer, wrestler, improvisational singer, makeup artist. Yep. She does it all. Anyway, thank you for joining us today, Rebel. Sorry you spilled your coffee. But also able to do a podcast while also cleaning up a coffee spill. Very multi-talented all at the same time.
I have OCD. That's a fun fact about me.
Fun fact.
Random.
Follow Rebel on Instagram and Twitter at Rebel Tania.
Tania.
I'm sorry.
You should know you're her friend.
T-A-N-E-A, Tania. And don't forget, we got Rampage coming up on Friday, August 13th, the debut at 10 o'clock Eastern on TNT. Can't wait for that.
In Pittsburgh, or as Rebel would probably say, Britsburg.
Let's go!
Yeah. Don't forget to watch Elevation Monday nights and AEW Dark on Tuesday, both on YouTube. And of course, AEW Dynamite Wednesdays, 8 o'clock, 7 Central on TNT.
Listening to Unrestricted as well. Our podcast available free wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget, leave us a rating and a review while you're there. And you can also check out the video of this podcast on YouTube. Be sure to check it out. You'll see Rebel with her great neon sign.
Oh, yes.
Her Marilyn Monroe poster and looking as only she can look. That search AEW Unrestricted for that. So I'm Tony Schiavone.
I'm Aubrey Edwards.
And I'm Rebel, not Reba.
Not Reba.
Thanks for listening to AEW Unrestricted.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Come on, throw your hands up. Let me see you. Unrestricted. Got the house now. We gon' turn it.